It is good to be here today, and we are, in a sense, back home again. And I am very thankful for the invitation to bring the word today from Brother Ian. And I enjoyed the hospitality in his home, and it is good to see many old friends from back in 79 and 80. We've been back a few times, but it's good to see many familiar faces as well as many who I haven't met before. I'm glad to see Reverend Beatty, and it's always good to see our brethren here. We bring you greetings from the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and we cannot really properly express our thanks to the Lord for bringing the Free Presbyterian Church to North America. We are so thankful for it. I was brought to the Lord on a Sunday morning as Reverend S.B. Cook was preaching the word there. I'm very thankful for the privilege on Friday night to be in Armagh. I was never in the Armagh Church before. It was good to be there. And we are very thankful for your prayers for us in North America. There are times that are difficult times, but it is amazing how the Lord brings great encouragement in the midst of troubles. I appreciate what our sister was singing. I was following the words along there, and goes right along with the message this morning. But we are very thankful for what God is doing, especially to the south of us, in the congregations in Mexico. And we are so thankful for the Lord bringing in not only the congregation that is to be constituted and the minister ordained in the beginning of February, but also three other ministers have come in under care, and their congregations in two of them in Veracruz and one of them on the island, the Dominican Republic, in Santo Domingo. So we are greatly encouraged by what the Lord is doing in expanding his work, and how amazing it is to go to Mexico City and to see the building packed out. My wife and another lady from our congregation had the privilege of going down and speaking at a ladies' weekend, and there were 90 ladies gathered together from those congregations, and we praise God for what he is doing. And they stayed over for the Lord's Day, and they met in the morning at 9:30. They were there all day until 5 in the afternoon. And the building was completely packed, and there was standing room only. We praise God for what he is doing there. We're going to read God's word today from Romans chapter 8. This is, I would say, my favorite chapter in the Bible. We'll begin our reading at the first verse of the chapter. Let us give our attention to God's precious word. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I'll pause there for just a moment. You notice those words, for we know that the whole creation groaneth. Knowledge, the knowledge of God is so important, but it's interesting, isn't it, that even the secular world would give some credence to this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So many are concerned that the earth is going to implode or explode or somehow destroy itself. But we need not worry, because this earth is so securely in the hands of the one who holds it. We know, though, that creation is groaning, as well as there is groaning in the children of God to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Amen. We'll end our reading at that verse 30. And we trust that the Lord will bless this reading to all our hearts for Jesus' sake. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Let us ask Him for a blessing for our hearts this morning. Our God and Father, we are thankful for the privilege that we have to draw nigh to Thee in Jesus' blessed name. We rejoice that Thou hast, even before there was ever a world, Thou didst give us to Thy dear Son. And Lord, we praise Thee that Thou hast loved us in giving the best that Thou didst have to give in giving Thy Son for us. And oh Lord, how blessed we are for the Spirit who has come to reveal the things of our Savior. And oh, we praise Thee for regenerating grace. We praise Thee for giving us life by a look at the crucified one. And oh, we praise Thee, loving Father, that Thou hast adopted us as Thy children. Lord, we confess our unworthiness to Thee this day. Oh God, we praise Thee that Thou hast lifted us up out of the miry clay. Thou hast set our feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. Thou hast put a new song in our mouths, even praise to our God. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt take up Thy word this day. We pray that Thou wilt give help to the preacher, give help to the hearers, that we would all receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. Lord, we pray to Thee because of the great sacrifice of our Redeemer. We thank Thee that all the blessings we enjoy flow from the cross work of our Savior. And Lord, we trust that Thou wilt abide with us and do us good. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Amen. The wise man in Proverbs asked the question, who is able to stand before envy? The Word of God tells us that it was for envy. And Pilate knew that it was for envy that the Jews delivered our Savior up to him. They were jealous of our Savior. They were envious of our Savior. They were jealous of the large crowds to whom He preached. They were jealous of the multitudes that came to Him for healing. They wanted that attention. They wanted the crowds to flock around them so that they could display their pretended spirituality. They wanted the people to think that they were righteous and holy ones, the Jewish leaders did. The envy of the leaders toward Jesus Christ was not a new thing, because it was prefigured long before in the Old Testament in the life of Joseph, the son of Jacob. You know, Joseph was the beloved son of his father, and because of that, his brothers envied him. His brothers hated him, and they would have left him in that pit to die had not Judah come up with the idea of selling him in order to get some profit from it. And so they sold him to be a slave. And when Joseph was sold, he was indeed a slave, and he was a faithful slave. He was a responsible slave, and in that work, you know, he was tempted. But he proved himself to be a holy man. He was lied about. He was wrongly imprisoned. And after some years of humiliation in that prison, he was brought out and highly exalted as a prophet. and even in a display of something of royalty. As Joseph looked back over his terrible ordeal, his trials, all of his betrayals and affliction, he knew that God meant it all for good, to save much people alive. And wasn't it exactly the same with our Lord Jesus Christ? That even in the very height of his sufferings on the cross, bleeding and dying for us, in the midst of that, our Savior lovingly prayed for his persecutors, praying to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But Jesus knew. So for the joy that was set before him, he endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. He endured the death of the cross. And now, like Joseph of old, our Lord Jesus Christ is highly exalted as our reigning King, as our great High Priest, and as the prophet of our salvation. And he is right now, at this moment, as we gather today, he is enjoying the great fruits and blessings of the travail of his soul. All that he has won for us in the great battle of the ages, he is now seeing, and he is satisfied as precious souls are being gathered into the fold all over this planet. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, we're going to look at one verse, and that is verse 28. This may be my favorite verse in all the Bible. And here in this verse, I want us to see, first of all, you would think this is in reverse order, but we see the conclusive work of the Lord our God. We see the words at the beginning of the verse, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." We know. The Greek verb here is very interesting. It is not the normal Greek word that we know so well for know. But this word means that we know and we see how faithfully God works all things for our good. The facts of God's providential working are observable to our perception. Praise His name. It is not at all a matter of doubt. It is not a matter of chance. It is not a matter of mere hope. We know by settled conviction. We know by our experience, because we have often seen God using even the hard circumstances of life. For what? For our good. I am not saying that our knowledge of God and our knowledge of all that He does is an absolute, perfect, complete knowledge. But yet our knowledge of His working in our lives is a real knowledge. It is a certain knowledge. It is a conclusive knowledge. We know. Even as the Scripture says so many times, we know. We know that God is working for us. We know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. We know that if this earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands forever in the heavens. We know that we are saved. We know that we are heaven bound. And what a privilege it is to know that, because I spent so many years, the first 25 years of my life, without any real solid hope. It was only a vain hope that I had, until the Lord gave me that blessed assurance that day in the preaching of the word. Well, we know infallibly that there is evil in sin. And we know infallibly that there is beauty in holiness. It's not a fiction. It's not a mere sentiment. The apostle confessed that he knew by personal experience that even those awful things that had happened to him were given by the Lord for the purpose of the furtherance of the gospel. He wrote to the Philippians. Now, not only God the Holy Spirit tells us in this verse, He is not the only one who concludes that God is working all these things for our good. But you could call a host of witnesses. You could call men such as Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Job and David and Daniel And the list could go on. And I would dare say that all who have put God to the test have proven that He works everything together for the good of His saints. Now, we have looked a little at the conclusive nature of God's working. Let's notice, secondly, the inclusive nature of God's working. And we know that all things work together for good. Praise God for the good things. But we are to give thanks in all things, even in the trials, even in the sufferings. Even as we read earlier in the chapter, if we're going to reign with Him, there's some suffering involved for us. We know that all things work together for good. Every matter, no matter how minute, every detail, what seems so bad to us and so painful, as well as that which is good and pleasant. You know, it's easy to see God's goodness when we're healthy. It's good to see God's goodness to us when we're financially stable. It's good to see, we confess that we see God's goodness. It's not so hard to see when our family are gathered around us. But when we're old, when we're sickly, when we're struggling financially, when our loved ones are taken from us in death, it is not so easy to say, God is working all things together for my good. We feel like Jacob felt back in the book of Genesis, chapter 42. He said, all these things are against me. And he was thinking particularly of his three sons that were the cause of great grief at that time. It looked like one of his sons, Joseph, was dead. He would never hear from him again. Simeon was a prisoner in a foreign country. And now they wanted to take away his beloved youngest son, Benjamin. So this brought great distress to him. And he was thinking, surely this is going to put me in the grave. But Jacob could not see what God was doing. God was working all things together for His good. Not only would all three of these sons be given back to him shortly, but there would also be the abundant benefits of the plenty of nourishment for his family in the remaining years of the famine in the land of Egypt. And old Jacob would live to see many of his grandchildren prospering and blessed in the land of Egypt. You know, sometimes very hard things are our portion, but they actually become a medicine to make us better. In certain ancient and modern medicines, there are even poisonous ingredients mixed together in order to produce a cure from some illnesses. I have seen veterinarian treating dogs for heartworms, and I have seen some of those dogs that looked like they were about to die. And the way to get rid of those heartworms, when they have a really bad case of them, is to give them small increments of arsenic, a very potent killer. And this very deadly poison in small doses works to actually heal the dog. And if they've not been in this condition too long, then this arsenic will actually destroy the heartworms and the dog will get well. Well, you know, God is the great sovereign physician. He is the one with the perfect skill to work the very difficult, troubling experiences and heartbreaks of life for our good. Though we cannot see it during the hard times, though our hearts may be in denial, and though we have doubts about it, yet it is true that God is working all things together for our good, for the good of those who love Him. So we see the conclusive nature of God's working, the inclusive nature, but finally, the exclusive nature of God's working. You see it there in the verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We've been singing about loving the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? I can remember living and not loving the Lord. I love the Lord because He first loved me. But you know, the exclusive nature of God's working is especially for them that love God. God tells us who He loves in the Scriptures. He says in Proverbs 8, in verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. It's best to seek God early and not later. It's best to seek Him now while there's life and while there's hope. The Lord tells us who He loves, but you know, not everybody loves the Lord. And what is such a fearful reality is that we read in the Scripture that the Lord does not love everyone. Psalm 5:5, Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Psalm 11, verse 5, The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Isn't there a great love of violence by many in the world today? The Scripture says, his soul hateth those that love violence. And those that are in love with their sins, it's time to turn from sin. It's time to seek the Lord. Time to get away from violence. Time not to run after lawlessness, but it's time to seek the Lord that we might know Him. Oh, He states so clearly who He loves. I love them that love me, and they that seek me early shall find me. This exclusive work of God's good providence and working is a grand evidence for those who have faith in Christ. This is another way to know that you are truly a child of God, because you can trace the hand of the Lord working all things together for your good in your life. Can you trace His hand in your life through the good and through the difficult and hard things? Can you see His hand at work that He has brought you safely thus far and He will safely bring you home? Well, if you can, if you can detect His hand working this way in your life, here is another evidence whereby we assure our hearts before God that we know Him, that we are indeed a child of the living God. God not only works all things together for those who love Him, but also for those who are the called according to His purpose. Literally, the called ones. These are His sheep. He calleth them all by name. His sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Jesus said, My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He goes on in that same context, and He warns some of them that were standing right there. He said, Ye believe not, because ye are not of My sheep. The exclusive working of God's providence is only for those who love the Lord, those who are the called ones according to His purpose. He only calls with saving power those that He predestined. We read that in the 30th verse. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Called according to His purpose, the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. God working all for the good of His people is an absolute certainty. This divine working includes everything, even what we term to be bad things. But God works all things for good, only for His children. And it is this truth that ought to make you tremble if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. If your life is not hid with Christ and God this day, you are living very dangerously. This is a wicked, violent, ungodly world filled with cruelty, malice, and every kind of evil. And to live in such a scene without the Lord Jesus Christ, without knowing Him, is utter madness. So I would encourage you today, if you do not know Him, it is time to hurry to Jesus this very day. Call upon Him in faith. Ask Him to be your Savior. Ask Him to be your Lord. Ask Him to be your God, your righteousness. He is the one who always tells the truth. And this same loving Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking, inviting sinners to Himself, says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And you can count on Him because He is truthful. He always tells the truth. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus now. I praise God that I didn't even have to speak to the preacher. The Lord was speaking to me as I sat on that side one morning as Brother Cook was preaching the word, and God dealt with me right where I was. The burden fell off. Praise His name. Well, dear Christian, let us be assured that even when bad things happen to us, that God is working it all for our good. Even if it just stops us for a moment to make us think of how blessed we are to be saved by the grace of God. Even if the difficult thing just stops us and makes us reevaluate our lives so that we consider that the Lord is good and that the things of God and the things of eternity should be to us exceedingly more important than the things of this passing world. For this world is passing away. This world is passing away. And we are passing away. I remember being here as a young man. I'm no longer a young man. So not only is the world passing away, but we are passing away. So if God brings difficult circumstances into our lives, we should praise Him, especially if it causes us to consider that the things of God and things of eternity are exceedingly more important than the things of this passing world. Let us pray together. O God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank Thee that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. O Lord, we praise Thee that Thou hast caused us to know that Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love, even though we are so unworthy of that love. We rightly could have been left forever to perish in our sin. And Lord, we praise Thee that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. And Lord, we praise Thee that with that love Thou hast also given us a fear and a reverence for Thee. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word, especially to the good of those who may be strangers to grace and to God in this gathering. Lord, we pray that they would see they must turn from their sin and run to Jesus this day. Oh God, we pray that Thou wilt give comfort, give help and challenge to Thy people, that we may spend the remainder of our days living to Thee, loving Thee, serving Thee for Thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.